is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
4 minutes after one, and this is Nation Radio, Draft Day number 2 edition, and we're joined on the phone by Dustin Nielsen. Dusty, how are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. First of all, I want to get this out of the way, and then I don't want to talk about it again, but congratulations on your mock draft.
Oh, well, it was only 2 picks. I think I only got a couple right in the whole thing, but I managed to get the Oilers.
You got Klefbom. So. That's you're way ahead of the curve here, buddy.
Yeah, well, I just think for the last little while, yeah, I you know, then I said all week on the air, I said, I hope they get Klefbom. If he's there, they have to take him, but I didn't think he'd be there, and I don't think the Oilers really thought he'd be there either, but when he was, they had to gobble him up, so it worked out well.
So give me a feel of the draft as far as the – we're going to listen to some tape from Steve Tambellini and from Stu McGregor here. Yep. In a little bit. Give me a feel about your take on day number 2 of the draft and how the organization feels.
Well, you know what, I think, and maybe this is just being around the team and listening to Oilers fans and things, but I think they did a very good job again today. David Musial, it was either him for me or Boone Jenner. Boone Jenner ended up going 37th, and that would have filled, I mean, one of two needs. It would have been another defenseman or another center, and they ended up getting a center later on in Iwanek anyway, so... you have to like the fact that they brought in Musial. They're very, very familiar with what he brings to the table, obviously, with his father being who he is. He will never produce offensively, I don't think, at the National Hockey League level, but you know, there's a pretty good chance that he will end up playing in the National Hockey League one day, which I guess is half the battle. I thought maybe this year in the Western League, like this past season just wrapped up, we would have seen a little more offense from him, and I think that's what most scouts kind of projected, because at this time last year he was a top 10 to 15 talent in this draft, and his defensive play didn't really suffer at all this year, so I think kind of people just settled in that, okay, wait a second, he's not going to be a great two-way defenseman, but he's going to be a solid defensive defenseman who could probably play second unit penalty kill as well, but likely won't play any power play time. So he complements a Peckham and a Tubert very nicely, so that was good. I ended up really liking the goaltender they took with the first pick of the third round, Samu Perhonen. A couple of people that I've talked to, and I'm sure you as well, believe that, you know, this guy could end up being the best goaltender from this draft. And now, and you know, with goalies, it's so difficult to project that. But the fact that people are saying that about him, and the fact that Finnish goaltenders in later rounds have usually worked out, I think you have to be pretty happy with that pick as well. Dylan Simpson at 92. Well, first I'll go to Travis Iwanek. I think Iwanek is a great pick because they're going to get a chance to watch him develop. And I'm actually just kind of working on my draft preview or a review that I'm going to post on our website, theteam1260.com. And I think, you know, in the future, you look at how the Oilers centers are going to break down, and I think Iwanek could end up being a very good fourth-line center for this team with the upside of having some third-line minutes as well. So the way he played at the under-18s, everybody was raving about him. I thought they made a good pick there. Dylan Simpson at 92, I don't think he was the best player available at that time, but they had another defenseman. And I think something has to be said about a guy who was raised around a professional hockey player and maybe just gets it. So when you look at it, that, yeah, he may not have been the best player available, but at the same time, he probably understands how things work, so you have to like that as well. Martin Gurnett at 6'5". I don't know much about him, but he's 6'5", so take that also. It's been, and I'm sure you'll hear it when you play some tape a little bit later on. His agent has said that he'll be coming over to the Canadian Hockey League this year, so you can look for him to go in the import draft as well. So, I mean, overall, I thought they did pretty good once again. But, I mean, let's talk 5 years, but as of right now, it looks pretty good.
You know, I was in conversation with Matt Bug from Dauber Hockey, and he knows this stuff backwards. He was most impressed with Gurnett. He felt that was a player the Edmonton Oilers, you know, obviously drafted very well. He likes him as a player a lot more than some of the guys that they had gone that had gone earlier to Edmonton. Not a lot known about him. I couldn't find a lot on the web, but apparently, from what he says, scouts are very, very interested in this guy. They feel like he has a nice size skill combination, so be something to look forward to.
And you know what? When we asked Stu McGregor about him as well, he kind of got this kind of sly smirk on his face. Like I think he knows that he's got a player in him. And the only stuff I could find on him was that 6'5", 187. Put up 15 points in the under-20 league in Slovakia last year, 25. I believe he is the he's the best player or best defenseman of his age group coming out of Slovakia. So he's nowhere near developed as much as Marincin was at this time last year. But Stu said he is huge and he skates extremely well. So those are two very good things to start with.
Well, what I liked about the draft from the Oilers' point of view is they came into the draft with multiple needs, but most specifically at center along the blue line. And when they could, they drafted players with a complete skill set, and I would count Klefbom as that. Then they went and they picked guys that they were sure of. One of the best things about Stu McGregor at the draft table appears to be, from my point of view, is that he, in the second round, he's getting guys who are going to play in the National Hockey League. By the time you get to the second round, a lot of times you're taking skill guys who end up, you know, being tweeners and not making it. I'd rather they take a Musil who has a really good chance of playing more than 200 NHL games than a flyer on a guy who lacks foot speed or maybe isn't as skilled as you maybe thought he was.
Yeah, no, you know what? That is good. The fact that you can have a couple of guys in the second round who are projected to play in the National Hockey League, and last year with Marincin, Pitlick, and Hamilton, I believe those are the three guys. I mean, we don't know if they're going to play. They haven't played yet, but all reports and the way they're developing, it looks like they're going to play. So you're right. Maybe the second round isn't the best time to start trying to take a little bit of a flyer on some of these guys. Maybe you save those, you know, for the fourth, fifth, sixth rounds like they did with the Gernat kid. Gernat may never, ever, ever. I mean, it's more likely that he never steps on NHL ice than he does.
Yep.
But that's why you draft guys with potential lower in the draft.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Now, give me a feel of the draft. The Oilers were pleased. Was there a sense that they'd done a good job? I know that a lot of the kids they took don't have the boxcar numbers, so observers, fans of the draft like myself are like, hey, wait a minute, this guy only scored two goals. But a lot of defensemen, a lot of guys who are, I would imagine, scouts' picks, and they must be fairly pleased with how it went.
Yeah, I think overall, you know, Steve Tambellini said he's very happy. We asked him, you know, you look at the overall package of what you put together over the last couple of days, and obviously he started with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and just said, you know, he's a special guy, and then we just build from there. Oscar Klefbom, I think, is going to be a very good pick. And Steve, and one of the things I asked Steve, and you'll hear if you have time to get to the audio, is I said, you know, with Perhonen and Bunns and Olivier Waugh, like, are you pretty confident that you've got a number one goaltender in there somewhere? And he said, yeah, you know, we're pretty confident with what we have in goal right now, and Devin Dubnyk's not that old either. So they both kind of had a pretty good smile on their face when they were talking about Perhonen. So I think they've got a lot of confidence in that kid. And then, like I said, you kind of got that same sort of smirk when it came to the Martin Gernat kid as well from Stu McGregor. So I think they believe right now that they have the potential to hit a home run here in this draft, and obviously at the top, I would think Oscar Klefbom plays a lot next 2 years in Sweden and comes over and steps immediately into the lineup, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins could be there as early as next year. So, I mean, overall, this could be back-to-back very good drafts for the Oilers.
One quick thing before I let you go, and I wanted to ask Jason this, but he had to zip before I had a chance. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I talked to Cam Moon a few weeks ago, and I talked to Craig Button about this as well. Both of them felt that people are overestimating the idea of having to add size or bulk, that they feel like he may be able to contend for a spot in the National Hockey League as early as this fall. How do you feel about that, and do you think the Oilers will give him a legit chance like the 9-game window?
I would be surprised if they didn't give him a 9-game window. He wasn't big as far as WHL standards go, and he still managed to play extremely well there. But I do think he needs to, you know, and this will come naturally. He needs to put on a little bit of weight because the grind of an 82-game NHL season, and nothing against the Western Hockey League, because I understand it's difficult and they're going to school and things like that, but it's nothing compared to what they go through in the Western Hockey League. So, you know, he can get by where he was in the Western League and could do that again in the Western League this year. But when you're playing an 82-game schedule against teams where their smallest defenseman is usually 6'1", 210 pounds, compared to the Western League where there are some defensemen on every team that are your size, you know, he will need to add a few pounds. I'm not saying he has to play at 185 or 190, but he will have to add a few pounds. But as far as next season goes, I mean, are the Oilers expecting to make the playoffs, or are they expecting to develop young kids again?
Yeah.
They're expecting to develop young guys again. So if he is capable of playing in the National Hockey League next year and making, you know, a minor impact offensively for that team and improving their power play, because that's where he excels the most, you know, he has at least, at get the 9-game look.
Are you getting tired of picking up the tab for all those guys that you work with here at the Team 1260 when you're in Minneapolis?
You don't even know.
Man.
You don't even know how cheap everybody is.
I've never seen Gregor's wallet, so I don't know. I don't know if he has one.
No, I think he carries a man purse. So.
Hey, Dusty, thanks for this, man.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Okay, thanks very much. That's Dustin Nielsen from Minneapolis. I'm only slightly, I'm teasing. Jason's a good guy, actually. The truth is, I've never actually paid for lunch that Jason Gregor and I have had. He always pays. That's the kind of guy he is. He's a good guy. I had to be honest there because it makes him sound like a bad guy, and he's a really great guy. Anyway, this is Nation Radio on Team 1260. We're going to get to Steve Tambellini and Stu McGregor and what they had to say about the draft right after this.